Without the total. The screens went out in the middle of Bex Halloran's second ball. The whole row died at once, all the way down to the far end, and the pins went over anyway. Four of them, with the flat clatter candle pins make, more like dropped kindling than anything struck. Bex turned around with her hands still up. Did I get them? Four, Tess said. You've got one ball left. Outside, the rain was coming down hard enough that people were standing inside the entry with their hoods already up, rather than run for the lot. It had been like that since dinner time. That was the reason all of them were here, the reason the pond was out, and the Sarkis's driveway was out, and everything anyone had proposed since noon was out, until Dane Lemire said the words, open bowl, in a voice that dared somebody to have a better plan. At the end of the lane, the pin setter finished its cycle, swept the deck, and set a fresh rack, entirely unbothered. Dane went up to the counter. The man behind it was a few years out of school and had a rag over one shoulder. He came out to look up at the dark screens the same as everybody else. It's not the rain, he said. Everyone's going to tell me it's the rain. It's the scorer. One computer runs the whole house, and it's been dropping out since July. He tipped his head toward the far end, where the machinery went on making its steady mechanical noise. Those are on their own. They don't know anything's wrong. So what do we do? Bex said. I can comp you the rest of the hour, or you finish and keep it yourselves. I'm not getting anybody out here tonight. We're in the fourth, Dane said. We're in the fourth, Junie Kovacs agreed from the ball return, where she had been sitting through the whole conversation with a ball in each hand like a person weighing produce. Which I would like on the record, because I'm having a night. Tess said, there are sheets behind the counter, in the drawer under the shoe spray. The man looked at her. My mother bowled Thursdays, she said. He found them. They were smaller than she remembered and printed in a blue that had gone almost gray, 10 boxes across, 3 little squares in the corner of each one for the balls, and a wide space beneath for what the box was worth. He put one on the table with a pencil that had been sharpened down to about the length of her thumb. Tess sat down in the scorer's chair, which was bolted lower than the others, and which nobody ever wanted, and reconstructed the first 3 boxes from memory. It took under a minute. She had been watching the screens all night without meaning to, in the way she watched most things, and the numbers came back in order and without effort. Dane's flat 6 and his 7 and his 4, Nadine Sarkis's terrible opening box and her recovery, Bex, Emmett Doyle, Junie, herself. She wrote them in small and pressed hard. I had 9 in the second, Junie said, reading over her shoulder. You had 8, you had 5 and 3, and you were talking to Bex, and you rolled your 3rd one into the gutter. Junie thought about it. I did do that. You did. Fine, 8. She put a hand flat on Tess's shoulder for a second on her way back to the approach, which Tess felt for longer than that. The thing nobody expected was that it got better. It got louder first. Without the screens, there was no order anybody was obliged to keep, and after Nadine bowled twice in a row by accident and nobody stopped her, the rotation dissolved into whoever was standing closest to the return with a ball in their hands. Dane started announcing his own bowls in a broadcaster's voice. Bex bowled one entirely into the gutter, and then, in the same box, put the other 2 into the pocket and took down every pin standing, and the room made a noise it would never have made if a screen had been holding up her gutter bowl beside it in a lit square for the rest of the night. That was the part Tess kept noticing. The screens preserved things. A bad first bowl sat up there in its box in daylight until the game ended, and you bowled the rest of your night beside it. Off the screens, a bad ball happened and then stopped having happened. Except on the sheet, where Tess wrote it down and it stayed. She kept the arithmetic exact. She would have anyway. Candlepin gave you 3 balls to a box and let the wood lie where it fell if it fell clean behind the line. So half of what happened was pins knocking pins, and the sheet had to hold not only what each ball did, but what the standing wood did afterward. She liked the bookkeeping of it. She liked that a spare was worth 10 plus your next ball, and a strike was worth 10 plus your next 2, So a box could not be closed at the moment it was bowled, and somebody had to carry it forward. She was somewhere in the middle herself and had been all night. It did not interest her much. What interested her was that Dane came over between boxes to check whether the four he thought he had was the four she had, and it was, and that Nadine started calling out her ball counts toward the table without turning around, trusting the table to be listening. "What do I need?" Junie said in the sixth. "For what?" "To be doing well." "You're doing well." "Tess." 8, Tess said. 8 puts you where you'd want to be. Junie took 7 and made a face at the last pin and came back satisfied. Tess wrote the box. Nobody asked what the running number was, and Tess did not offer it, and the not offering was a thing she was aware of doing, the way you are aware of holding a door shut with your foot. Nadine leaned over once and said she could take the sheet for a while if Tess wanted to actually bowl. "I'm bowling," Tess said. Emmett Doyle bowled his 7th box while 3 people were arguing about whether the rain had let up. He put 5 over on his first ball and 5 on his second, which is a spare, which is the second best thing that can happen to you, and the argument did not pause. Tess put the mark in his box and carried it open. He came back and sat down 2 seats along and got his water bottle and did not say anything. And it was not sad. He was not a sad kid. He was a kid who had gone all evening at exactly the temperature he had come in at while everyone else went up and down. Tess wrote what his spare was going to be worth as soon as he threw his next first ball, which was a 4. 14. She thought, without wanting to particularly, that he was closer than anyone would guess. Then Junie struck. It happened in her 8th, and it happened almost by accident, which is how it happens. The ball went in a shade off where she meant it, the head pin cut sideways instead of straight back, wood took wood across the deck in a spread that seemed to last longer than it could have, and the last one on the left stood there wobbling for a full second on its own before it went. The noise the 6 of them made brought the man at the counter out to look. Junie went down the approach with both arms up and got as far as the foul line before she remembered it and came back. And Bex hit her in the shoulder several times, and Dane called it at volume for an audience of nobody. It was, Tess thought, the loudest thing that had happened in that building in a year, and it deserved to be. She wrote the X in the corner square and left the box empty underneath. That was the part she could not explain to anybody who had never kept a sheet. A strike is 10 plus your next 2 balls, and Junie's next 2 balls were 2 full rotations away. So for the next several minutes, Tess carried an unfinished box in her head, through Nadine and through Dane and through Bex and through her own 3, waiting on a number that did not exist yet. When Junie finally came back around and put up a 4 and a 3, Tess closed the box at 17 and felt the small private click of it, which was the best feeling available to her that whole night and lasted about as long as a click. Nobody asked what the strike had been worth. They knew what it had been worth. It had been worth the noise. By then, the totals had gone entirely out of the conversation. People still asked her what they needed. "What do I need, Tess? Is that anything? Does that help me?" And she answered all of it and stayed necessary and understood the difference. What they needed was about the next ball. Who was ahead was about the night, and the night had stopped being that kind of night. She could feel the columns anyway. She could not have stopped feeling them. Junie out in front and Emmett 2 behind her and closing, quietly, in the manner of somebody paying down a debt. In the 10th, Dane said they should do it properly and go around in order, and everyone agreed, because by then the group would have agreed to almost anything. Junie went 4th. She had been carrying the room since the 8th, and she came up to it like a person who expected the building to do something for her. And she got a 3, and then a 2, and then 1 more, and stood looking at the 6 pins still up with an expression of pure comic betrayal, while Bex laughed at her hard enough to have to sit down. "That's a 6, Junie announced. "That's a 6 for me." "It's a 6, Tess said. It cost her nothing to say. That was the thing about the 10th, once nobody was ranking. Junie's little box was funny instead of expensive. And Junie herself found it funny first and loudest, and gave her ball to Nadine with a bow. Emmett went last. His first ball took 4 off the left side and left the wood lying clean behind the line where it was still live. His second took 3 more, 2 of them off a pin that had been down since the first ball, which he had plainly set up on purpose and which nobody remarked on. That left 3 standing, spread. He stood at the top of the approach longer than he had stood anywhere all night. Then he came down and put the ball into the right-hand pin at an angle that sent it across the deck into the other 2, and the whole rack went over, all of it. Nothing left standing on the boards at all. The 6 of them came off the seats. Bex screamed. Dane got both hands on Emmett's shoulders from behind and shook him like a vending machine. Junie shouted something that was not words, and then shouted his name, and Emmett Doyle stood in the middle of it, looking mostly at the floor, with a grin he was not able to do anything about. Tess wrote it down. 10 pins, 3 balls, which is not a mark. A strike is 10 with the first ball, and a spare is 10 with the first 2. And 10 with 3 balls is worth 10 and earns you nothing after it. No bonus, no second look. The plainest possible number the game can give you. She wrote the 10 in the box and did the addition, which she did not need a pencil for and did with the pencil anyway, because she wanted the sheet to say it. 97. She went up 2 lines to Junie's column and read the bottom of it, though she already knew. 96. The screens came back on about a minute later, all of them at once, the whole row filling with that white glow, and the lane threw up a clean blank game with all their names in a fresh column and everything at 0. "Oh, now," Dane said to the ceiling. The man at the counter called down that they were welcome to the last 15 minutes, and nobody moved to take it. It was late. The rain had gone thin and steady, and the lot was going to be standing water at the low end, and everybody knew it. Bex was getting her shoes off with her heel jammed against the leg of a chair. She said, not even looking up, in the voice you use for a question that has stopped mattering, "So who won?" Tess had the sheet flat under her hand. "I lost track," she said. "Somewhere in the 8th." "You lost track." There was a lot going on in the 8th. Junie, from across the seats, said, "There was an enormous amount going on in the 8th." And that was the end of it. Nadine said the thing about the lot. Dane started in about next week. Emmett got his own shoes and carried them to the counter by the heels, the way he had carried them out, and Junie went after him and said something to him that Tess did not hear, and he laughed, and neither of them looked back at the table. Tess turned the pencil over. The eraser was old and hard and did not take much at first, so she worked the frame marks in the corner squares, which were small and lightly written and gave up easily. Then the box values underneath. The graphite did not lift so much as spread. It went sideways into the paper and became a gray field, and the eraser wore down warm under her thumb and left crumbs across the sheet that she brushed off with the side of her hand onto the floor. She was not doing it for Junie. She wanted to be honest with herself about that, and she was, sitting in the low chair with the screens lit up white all around her. Junie would have been fine. Junie would have laughed and said it out loud herself and bought the kid a soda. And she was not doing it for Emmett, who had gotten the noise, and had gotten it for the right thing, and would not have wanted the rest of it. She was doing it because there had been an hour in that building in which nobody in it was ahead of anybody, and she had been the only one holding the other thing the entire time. And she was not going to put it down in front of them now. She could have. That was the part. She could have read the columns out. She could still read them. She would be able to read them in the car. And the night would have snapped into a shape with a winner in it. and a person who lost by a pin. And she would have been the one who did that, and everyone would have had to take it from her. She was not going to. But she had had it. She had had it since his last ball, and she was going to go on having it, and no one at that table would ever know there had been anything to have. The paper went soft where she had worked it, and furred, and she kept on until the columns were nothing but that gray. The final total was last. It was written smallest, down in the corner, and she had pressed hardest of all when she wrote it, so it came up slowest, and the 9 went before the 7 did. The 7 sat there a while under her thumb. Then it went too, and she folded the sheet twice and pushed it down into the pocket of her jacket and got up to give the chair back.